Good morning, church family. I'm not quite that tall, John. The reading this morning is Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Excuse me. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Rosemary. Let's pray. Father, may these spoken words be faithful to the written word, and lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. I don't know if any of you remember the game show on TV called Mr. and Mrs. Or perhaps the more recent All-Star Mr. and Mrs. It was a show where each couple tried to match each other's answers to six questions in an attempt to predict how their spouse, seated behind a window and with headphones on, would answer those same questions. Those questions ranged over the course of the show, starting off quite easy, like, what's his or her favourite pizza topping? What size shoe is he or she? To the slightly more awkward answers, and no poking each other here, who is the better driver? What is his or her worst habit? To the more intimate questions like, who said I love you first? Or what's the biggest lie you've ever told? Any couple, if you haven't seen it, that successfully matched answers to all six questions would win a jackpot prize. Well, hearing those questions, you might well be thinking, thank goodness I never watched that show. But you may also be thinking, I'd hate any of my friends or family or colleagues to know those answers, let alone the British public. But having had Rosemary read that psalm, Psalm 139, I think we can safely say that God is aware of all our answers. In fact, he will find out this morning that he knows us better than we know ourselves. Yet, he still loves us and longs to be in relationship with us. So this psalm, written by David, celebrates the intimate knowing that God has of us, having been totally involved with us from conception to birth and beyond. The thought of God knowing us so well is something David finds mind-blowing. And I hope that is where we too will be by the end of this talk, and that we will feel secure and at peace, because there is no end to God's intimate love, care, and mercy. Well, there's four sections. You probably realised that as Rosemary read. There's four sections to this psalm. So let's look at this first section, where we're going to learn that God is all-seeing. So God is all-seeing. Well, imagine having someone who knows everything about you. Imagine someone who knows what you're going to say or do before it happens. Now, that might make us feel uncomfortable or embarrassed, but for David, who loves the Lord, it's a wonderful part of the relationship, with God knowing everything, even the everyday things, as we read in verse 2. As Jesus would later say, God knows the number of hairs on our head. But did you notice the words in the opening section that shows how comprehensive God's knowledge is? You may have spotted the word searched, know, perceive, discern. You are familiar. Are these words for a distant God or for a God who longs to be part of our lives and even takes the initiative? We might be able to hide our thoughts and actions from friends and family, but not from God. The child is comforted that a loving parent watches over him. And when we are confident in the love and care of God our Father, his good intentions are positive. His constant knowledge of us is a comfort. Look at verse 5, though. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. David isn't hinting here that God's overwhelming knowledge of him is a threat. When I look to my own self-pleasing and I, in a sense, turn away from God, that could be the case. But here, David knows that God's hemming in is a positive thing. It's a comfort. In fact, that hand upon David is a hand of grace, not oppression. And this section finishes with a wow. David responds with praise and adoration. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. So, how does that make you feel, knowing that God sees and knows us intimately as a loving parent watching over us and wanting the best for us? And I wonder if that would change the way we think and speak in any way this week. So, if God is all-seeing, then our next section is God is all-present. God is all-present. In other words, he surrounds me. Wherever I go, God is there. David isn't trying to escape from God. I think he's realised that's impossible. Rather, he's just saying that God is with him. He's appreciative of a God who knows everything and is everywhere. A heathen philosopher once asked, "Where is God?" The Christian answered, "Where is he not?" In verses 6 to 10, David uses some lovely contrasts to help us appreciate that God is all-present. In verse 8, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. So in verse 8, David imagines going up as high as it would be possible to go, to the heavens, and then going down, down, down to the depths, which might mean the chaotic depths of the sea. So if he's gone up and gone down. Verse 9, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, God is there in the dawn, to the very far east where the sun rises, and all the way to the very far west, the far side of the sea, which would have been the Mediterranean. And of course, he's everywhere in between. And the amazing thing is that David believes it's not just about God being there. It's about God being all present, there for him, being personally present to hold and guard him. As we see in verse 10, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. During his life, David would have experienced times when he had to flee his enemies. Yet here, God is there, and his right hand provides safety. We have more contrasts. Verse 11 and 12, we have the contrasts of light and darkness. And David again comments upon the comforting truth of God being all present. Sometimes David feels himself in darkness and fears he will be hidden with no more hope of light. But even in the darkest darkness, the God who is light and shines like the day will be there. One commentary said, darkness may indeed conceal us and our deeds from the sight of men, but the divine presence, like that of the sun, turns night into day and makes all things manifest before God. But what a great reminder for us too. Should we experience dark places and have wondered if God knows that we are there, we can be certain he is. Maybe there's been times when we felt like hiding or running away from God. Jonah did. You may remember the Old Testament prophet disobeying God's command and trying, unsuccessfully, to escape God's presence by boarding a ship going the opposite direction to Tarshish rather than Nineveh. God found him. But that made me think, I wonder if we ever try to hide or run away from God. Perhaps we try to harbour a sin, a secret sin. Or perhaps we're afraid of intimacy with him. In those situations, rather than running away, maybe we should run to God and into his arms of extravagant love. In many psalms, the psalmist pours out his worries, or he even shouts at God in some of those psalms. But even in those moments of darkness, David reminds us here that God is with us. So, if God is all-seeing, all-present, in this third section, God is the all-creative one. The all-creative one. God knows us because he formed us. David in this section contemplates the miracle of conception and birth and is so grateful and full of reverence for God's handiwork. Each person is unique and special in God's eyes. Not accidents, not mass-produced, but precious. And initially, only seen by God. Nothing is hidden from his presence. In verse 13, even in the womb, God knows everything about that life. So here we get a glimpse of how precious life is and how much God has for humans, even at the earliest stages of life. Well, I can imagine there are many grandparents here, perhaps, or parents or friends who've been blown away by the arrival of a new baby in the family or a friend's family. Just looking at tiny fingers with fingerprints and nails already perfectly formed is just amazing. And that's what we can just see on the outside. Even with the advances of modern science, the way the body still fascinates scientists. I love the way David uses these two words, fearfully and wonderfully, in verse 14. Fearfully, when translated from the Hebrew, means with great reverence, heartfelt interest. Wonderfully, when translated from the Hebrew, means unique and set apart. That's you and me. When God created us, he did it with heartfelt interest and made us unique. Well, David's response to such a beautiful image of God as our caring creator in verse 14 explains that the only thing to do is to praise him. Verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Of course, God's interest in us doesn't stop at birth, for it continues. Verse 16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book. God's perfect knowledge did not only extend to the past, before David was born, it extended to the future. And God knew David's days as if they were, well, written in a book. Knowing that every day of our lives, past, present and future, is already in the mind of God from before we were created, perhaps it invites us to live a life of purpose. Which might mean not regretting that I am not someone else or have different parents or a different upbringing. For however flawed it seems to me and however painful, I may trust that in Christ God has shaped me just as he purposed me to be. In verse 17, we notice that God's view is limitless. It transcends time and space. But once again, David is in awe. Verse 18, if I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. When I awake, I am still with you. Well, that might suggest eternity, but for David, it might be that God is his last thought before he goes to sleep and the first thought when he wakes up. The all-creative God is with him. Is our response like David's? Do we view God with awe and wonder? If we're fearfully and wonderfully made, then that makes him an awesome, wonderful creator, one in whom we can confidently run to and put our trust in. When Anthony asked me to speak on this psalm, I was delighted because it's one of my favourite psalms. I remember as a student in student accommodation having loads of posters around my room, which actually included this psalm, beautiful images and lots of fantastic scripture references on. Funnily enough, though, I don't seem to remember the next section that we're coming to, which seems to have a different tone, but it does give us permission to be honest with God when we pray. So my final point is, God is all holy. God is all holy. In this section, David abruptly shifts from a spirit of wonder and adoration to intense prayer. But who is it against? Well, verse 19, it's against the wicked and against bloodthirsty men who he wants to distance himself from. It wasn't primarily because these men opposed David, but because they opposed God. Verse 20, they speak of you with evil intent. The thing is, David cherishes God. David despises their sin, just like God, who loves holiness and hates wrong. David is desperate for people to honour God, and he doesn't hold back. God's enemies are his enemies, yet it will be God who will ultimately judge them. You may remember in the Gospels that Jesus also hated sin, yet he also showed compassion towards the sinner, inviting them to repent and follow a new way of living. Having looked at the hearts of his enemies, David finally invites God to examine him and ask that anything offensive to an all-holy God would be removed. So verse 33, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Linking to the opening of this psalm, David opens his soul completely before God, asking if there is any unknown or unperceived sins. This showed how much David cared for holiness in his life and how humble he was in recognising that there could be unperceived wicked way in himself. It just made me think, do we seek holiness like David does? Well, perhaps we should take David's lead and maybe do this ourselves every so often. It may encourage spiritual growth, but it comes with a warning. One theologian said of this verse, "When prayed sincerely, this is something of a dangerous prayer, worthy yet dangerous. It is a serious thing to pray because it invites painful exposure and surgery if we truly mean it. Still, it is what every wise believer should desire." David ends this majestic psalm by declaring his destiny, the way everlasting. Verse 24, "Lead me in the way everlasting." Trust in the God that is all-knowing, all-present, all-creative and all-holy would bring David to eternal life. May we, just like David, surrender to an amazing Heavenly Father and place our confidence in the one who knows our deepest needs and innermost secrets, but who still lovingly takes the initiative to be in relationship with us. And may our response be to fall down and worship in awe and wonder. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing psalm of praise and adoration. But we also recognise the honest, blunt conversation David has with you and his willingness for you to search him and test him. May we respond like David does, recognising you as the one who not only knows us completely, but loves us completely. Thank you that you, Lord, are sovereign, and we ask that you would lead us by the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in your ways and to experience the way everlasting now and forever. Amen. Amen.